Welcome to our Sunday service. We thank the Oliver family this week for lending us their voices and appreciate Mary Lou's gift of song and Mark Kosher's gift on the keyboard. We are grateful to Mark Dunn for making time to post on the webpage the sermon video along with the order of service. During the audio service, please respond with the bolded phrases in the responsives and sing along to the songs and hymns if you'd like. As we prepare our hearts for worship, I invite you to take a deep breath through your nose and then slowly exhale through your mouth. Breathe in the breath of life and imagine exhaling out all your troubles and worries. And trust all that weighs heavily upon you to our God's unending mercies, and let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Our responsive call to worship. Whatever the path we walk, whatever the road we take,
Jesus will accompany us.
Whenever our hearts are open, whenever our ears truly hear,
Jesus will speak to us.
So let us come honestly before Jesus and as we worship.
And let us worship the one who always walks with us.
Our prayers of adoration, confession, and Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. In the rising of the sun, with smudges of purple and pink that blur into oranges and then yellow, We marvel at how you paint the sky, living God. We also marvel at how your light dances, not just in the heavens, but in the truth of salvation, what we experience as freedom in forgiveness and eternal life. With the resurrection, O Lord, you have shown to us that your love is far more powerful than death. So we give you honor and glory through song and word, with our hearts and thoughts, for how you make us whole through the power of forgiveness and unconditional love. God of light and truth, you break the grip of darkness and death, but we confess that we often remain blinded by doubt, fear, sorrow, and sometimes we are blinded by our complacency or even apathy. We confess that there are times when our eyes prefer to overlook what makes us uncomfortable, the poor and hungry, those who mourn, those who look and are different. Forgive us when we choose to look away. Forgive us when we choose to stay in the darkness because it is familiar. Forgive us when we do not trust in your power to break the grip of darkness and death. Living God, forgive us for failing to recognize Christ's presence with us in the midst of our discomfort and our sorrow. Hear us now as we confess in silence those times we have failed to live by Easter's light. Living God, breathe into us renewal as we say together the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of assurance. In every helping hand to sustain life, in every heartfelt gift to give life, in every choice that brings life, we see Christ. This is the new life of forgiveness. This is the new life of reconciliation. This is the new life of freedom in Jesus Christ. So let us accept the forgiveness found in the risen Lord, and give forgiveness found in the risen Lord, for we are an Easter people. May the peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast done. It is well. His glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole. His nail to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well. Clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
A responsive lesson is from Psalm chapter 116, verses 1 to 4, and then 10 to 19. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy.
Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath.
Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me.
I believed in you, so I said, I am deeply troubled, Lord.
In my anxiety, I cried out to you. These people are all liars.
What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me.
I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
The Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die.
O Lord, I am your servant. Yes, I am your servant, born into your household.
You have freed me from my chains.
I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the house of the Lord, in the heart of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
May God help our understanding.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Our scripture lesson is from Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures for us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by. heart, and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You see the depths of my heart, love me the same. You are amazing, God.
The message this morning is entitled Inviting Jesus to Stay in These Hard Times. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and all our meditations and thoughts be acceptable in your sight. In the mystery of the Holy Spirit, help us to know and experience how you join us together, defying the physical limitations of time and space. Open our eyes to see you in our lives, and open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to your words of life and renewal. Amen. This past Wednesday was Earth Day, and I reminded families of this in my weekly emails to them. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, as the psalmist says. So I wanted to be intentional about honoring this by doing something on Earth Day. I decided to do something that did not require electricity or battery power during my free time. I also told my teenager that he could do something as well that did not involve his devices for an hour that day, and napping was not an option. For some of our teens, and even us adults, if we're honest, an hour away from access to the internet or cable or radio can be quite difficult. Distraction has become much too accessible. Sitting with our true thoughts has become uncomfortable, as has addressing our fears without allowing them to spiral out of control because it takes so much energy. Acknowledging our disappointments and failures can also be painful when it's so much easier to drink, exercise, watch, play, read, travel, surf the web, listen to something, or fill in the blank. Well, Wednesday passed fairly quickly, and after the session meeting using Zoom, I went to clear the kitchen and automatically turned on the TV to hear something as I cleaned. After 15 minutes or so into the new Nancy Drew series I've been watching, I realized that, oh, stink, it's Earth Day. Oops. So I went to turn off the television and went on cleaning, and then I was done. I finally had maybe about an hour and a half to myself before I should ideally go to bed. What could I do? Anything fluffy and distracting to read was online and required my tablet. It was too late to play the piano, and I didn't want to do anything that required too much thought or energy. I was tired. So I went to my little table, littered with chiogami, which is Japanese paper with decorative patterns, and other colored strips where I like to make cards. As I sat there changing the positions of the various strips of paper, trying to settle on a pattern, I realized that my home sounded much too quiet. More unsettling was the realization that I was not comfortable with the quiet. Why? Why was it that I wanted to be distracted? Walking on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and another disciple are moving away from Jerusalem. With each step, they physically remove themselves further from the horrors of a crucified beloved teacher and the mysterious empty tomb. Despite the increasing physical distance from all that has distressed and confused them, all they can talk about is what has distressed and confused them. It seems that these followers are trying to process what has happened, but something important is missing from their sincere quest. To understand the despair of Good Friday and the mystery of Easter Sunday, they are missing something crucial. And here, the hero of our story appears. Not riding on a chestnut-colored stallion, nor floating down from the sky with a cape, nor with pledges for support, nor measures to protect, but instead, simply as a walking companion who asks the question that the disciples most want help in understanding. What are you discussing so intently as you walk along? For you see, this is no relaxed conversation Cleopas and his friend are having. They are throwing words at each other and comparing thoughts, faith really seems to be seeking understanding here in this intense discussion. And should it not be obvious to the risen one just what these disciples are talking about, or rather about whom these disciples are discussing? So I wonder, is Jesus being ironic here, sarcastic, droll? What is the writer Luke trying to tell us through Jesus' question? I confess, I don't often understand biblical humor. Commentators I've read about this passage says that it contains humor. I can't say that I really see it. Perhaps I'm too earnest. Perhaps I look at this story a little too literally. How does understanding the humor in this story help my understanding of the passage? I prefer Jesus' question to Cleopas and the other disciple to be sincere. Personally, I like a sincere Jesus. Nevertheless, like the first listeners or readers of the story, we know what Cleopas and the other disciple do not know. Jesus is the stranger who sneaks up on them as they're walking and throwing their thoughts at each other. The very one they have questions about is the very one who has come alongside them. So, what might the message here be for us, the listener, the reader? What are you discussing so intently as you walk along? Could Jesus be asking this of you and me today? Or are the thoughts we need to discuss ignored, hidden, buried by busyness, distraction, apathy? What is it that we discuss intently in our lives? On the road to Emmaus, as these two disciples intensely discuss what is really important to them, what really matters, I love that Jesus just shows up. He kind of sneaks up on them, so to speak. But after the disciples answer Jesus' question, explaining their hopes of this powerful prophet who went and got himself killed, Jesus then goes on to call the disciples stupid. Well, okay, most translations don't have Jesus actually saying this mean word, but in today's vernacular and from various biblical translations and the Koine Greek itself from verse 25, I think it's pretty fair to interpret thick-headed and foolish, slow-hearted and dull in mind as stupid. In fact, you can translate this word bradus in the Koine Greek as stupid. So I don't know about you, but if I had just bared my deepest disappointment to a stranger who then had the nerve to call me stupid, I would not have stuck around. At least that's what I think. Then again, Jesus didn't give Cleopas and the other disciple time to react to the insult. Jesus just dives right into explaining what the disciples had been missing from their intense discussion. They had been so focused on what they had seen that they had forgotten what they had been told. I'm going to repeat that. The disciples had been so focused on what they had seen, they had forgotten what they had been told. Jesus tells them straight out, wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things? Don't you see that these things had to happen? Then Jesus started at the beginning with the book of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. And Jesus took them through the scriptures. He didn't tell the disciples what they wanted to hear. Instead, Jesus reminded the disciples of what they would have heard and learned as children. The disciples needed to remember. What I find so very interesting here is that the disciples are helped to remember their scriptures by someone they perceive to be a stranger. Not only does this supposed stranger tell Cleopas and his friend their stories of faith, the stranger interprets, explains, expounds the truth of these scriptures to them. How are we to understand this element of the story? That a stranger is able to explain what the disciples cannot understand. Perhaps our understanding can come from what happens next. The two disciples urge, they press upon Jesus to stay, and they open their home to Jesus and invite him to a meal. They are generous in their hospitality, and in their hospitality, Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, gives it. And then their eyes were opened. Cleopas and the other disciple recognize Jesus. There is something powerful and holy in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, when bread is taken, blessed, broken, and shared in the presence and power of the risen Lord. There is something in inviting the stranger who helps us to remember and understand our story of faith. There is something in walking with the stranger who helps us to remember and understand our story of faith. There is something in discussing intently what really matters, what it truly means to believe. So how might we invite Jesus to stay? The truth is, only you can answer that for yourself. For me, I invite Jesus to stay when I plead for God's generous mercies in the morning, when I plead for God's generous mercies because I know this is the only way I will get through the day. I am quite honest and sincere in my pleading. These are not words said in rote repetition. There is an urgency to my plea. Unfortunately, there are mornings I succumb to the busyness of a day and neglect inviting Jesus to stay with me. And even on the days I do invite Jesus to stay, I am guilty of sometimes crowding him out. There is this thing called free will, and although God can work in spite of me, I can choose to be hospitable or not. You can choose to remember or not. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? When we sincerely seek the one who gives us life, like Cleopas and the other disciple, Jesus appears, even sneaks up on us. When we open ourselves to hear and listen, the word of life helps us to understand. When we invite the risen Lord to stay, Jesus blesses us and we recognize the way, the truth, and the life. During these hard times, with a simple click of a button or touch of a screen, distraction is at our fingertips. But is this the conversation you really want to have? Is this the conversation, the one that really matters to me? Jesus is risen. Love is here to stay. Peace, joy, and grace are also here to stay. Where in the unfamiliar might Jesus be speaking to us? What stranger has words of life that spur us to remember our stories of faith? Where is God calling us to invite the stranger into our lives? For God's Son is here to stay. Amen.
Grace of God comes close to those whose grace.
When hearts are tired or sore, and hope is bruised and bent, the grace of God is here to stay, embracing those who walk the way. The grace of God is here to stay. The sun
During our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, there will be brief pauses and a responsive. When you hear the words, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayers. Let us pray. God of light and truth, you have walked the Emmaus road with your faithful people in many generations. People facing challenge and uncertainty, people seeking your purpose and promise. Thank you for your faithfulness to us in all situations. Walk with us and with those for whom we pray for this day, that your grace and mercy may sustain our faith and hope. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for children and young people who must think about the future in uncertain times. Give them hope rooted in the knowledge that their lives matter to you. Show them how to make a difference in the world, whatever threats and challenges they face as they grow. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for people for whom age or experience, orientation or mental health, illness or disability create barriers to full participation in your world. Give each one a sense of dignity and purpose. Show them where their gifts are needed and how much they matter to you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for communities challenged by forces beyond their control. The pandemic, the economic crisis it is creating, environmental collapse, natural disaster, political strife, and especially the families, friends, and neighbors devastated by the violence in Nova Scotia. Give courage to those facing these crises day by day and wisdom to those who lead us through them so that well-being may be restored and hope for the future prevail. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for our congregation, for our life together and our future in mission. In a time when we cannot gather in person, sustain our fellowship and strengthen our prayers for one another so that you will find us faithful on our journey into the future that you have promised to us. And we pray for the well-being of those lives linked to ours, who bring us both joy and heartache. Because they matter so much to us and to you. Hear, O Lord, our silent prayers. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Living God, we are grateful that we can place all our worries and our hopes into your hands, knowing that you will hear us and respond. So we close our prayer in trusting that you will give us the courage and wisdom we need to face the future. In the name of our risen Lord, we pray. Amen. May the one who flung stars into the midnight sky cradle and encircle us. May the one who died and rose again to give us new life give us voice to share our story. And may the one who moves like the wind and burns like a flame inspire us to shine brightly wherever we are. In the name of God, who is our Father and Mother, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, who is our advocate and our comforter.
Sing Amen, Amen, we praise your name, O God. Sing Amen, Amen, we praise your name, O God. Sing Amen.